I shall pray.
Father, may we understand your immeasurable grace for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord God, our rock and our strength. Last week we read from John 1 from the beginning, and that was on Christmas Day. The emphasis was on the word receive. And we read that again today. So we sort of overlapped a bit actually in John. And to receive the word and the light of Christ in our lives. And John drew a picture for us from the culture of hospitality in the days of the disciples. He shows that in receiving, it is an act of honouring the one who is being generous and gracious to us. And so, in taking upon ourselves not only their gift, but we take upon their generosity as well. John is tapping into the concept of God's immeasurable generosity to us. He calls it grace upon grace. This gift that keeps on giving, that will open us up to the knowing of the depth of love that the Father has for us. God has given us Jesus. The Word became flesh to live among us. And here in verse 16 it says, from this fullness we have this grace upon grace. To understand this, we know that God's grace is already in our hearts and minds by his innate laws of righteousness. These laws affect everyone just as the law of gravity does. Ignore gravity and you'll find out why. And it affects us. And this is not confined just to the religious. Anyone who chooses to live with kindness and love, they will know a life full of the consequences of God's blessings. Choose to live with resentment and hatred, and a life will always have the consequences of conflict. First, God has written his laws in our hearts. We all know what is true, what is virtuous and righteous, and we have an innate ability to act in a way that brings peace and healing, and is constructive and beneficial. We also know how to discern what is evil, harmful, and destructive. And we have the choice in how we respond to things both negatively or positively. Those who are attentive to God's word in their hearts try to live and do what is right. The point is, God's word are his laws of righteousness. And Paul says this in Hebrews, for the law is only a shadow of the good things to come, not the realities themselves. It can never, by the same sacrifices offered year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Make perfect those who draw near to worship. Paul makes it clear that the laws of righteousness is not enough because we are limited in our own efforts to follow them. Therefore, God has sent his perfect word to be a living reality of his laws of righteousness. Jesus will not only reflect what is written on our hearts and minds, but will become the light of righteousness in our souls. Thus his word becomes a living thing in us as well. First, Jesus breaks the curse of sin, and then he imparts in us his spirit, who brings this living revelation of all that God is and can be in our lives. But why all this? If we can already know God's grace in our hearts through his law, then why all the fuss with Jesus being born and lived as one of us, being crucified and then raising to new life? Quite often people come to the knowledge of God's laws, but stop allowing God to be that living grace in their souls. And I repeat from Paul again, for the law is only a shadow of the good things to come, not the realities themselves. Here's the rub. Though we knew the laws of God in our hearts, we are still bound to sin. Though our desire is to live righteously, sin held us back from having God dwelling in our hearts and souls. So God himself broke the curse so that we not only knew his law, but also join with Christ, and through him we become his living lights of righteousness. It's God's doing. It is why in John 3 we hear the well-known words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But John follows up this with in verse 21, and he follows it up with this: whoever practices the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen clearly that what he has done has been accomplished in God. Jesus is the reality of those good things to come. So what he has done through Jesus, God entered into our human world with all its mess and all its pain and suffering. And here is where the Word became flesh. Though subject to sin, yet he did not sin. He took sin all the way to the cross. Therefore, when we receive Jesus, the living Word, in our hearts by believing all he has done for us, we come into the second grace of Jesus, who is the real light in our souls. This is love of God we enter into, that the Father has demonstrated to us how much he values you, that you are worthy to have his Spirit reign in your souls. I'll say that again, that you are worthy to have his Spirit reign in your souls. There is no more good enough than this. This is a demonstration of the absolute goodness of God. He not only sent his word, but he keeps his word. And he put his word on the line for us so that we may have his life in us and live it not just mediocrely, but live it abundantly. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amazing grace. I want you to hear that again. That we might become the righteousness of God. Does that not astound you? It just absolutely rocks me. You know, in the Murray, I served under two bishops who knew theology very, very well, could articulate it and preach it without even looking at words. But sadly, their lives did not show forth the love of God. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I was about 15, and I came into that realization that God loved me and wanted to lead me and be in my life. And I could hardly read. But I said, so I said to God, God, you help me. You help me, because I don't just want to be a good person. I want you to be in my life and to shine out of my life. And since I've been 15, that has been my prayer. That has been my call to God. God, please lead me. Show me how to be who you are in this world and to others as well. So God loves us so much that Jesus came to transform us into his ambassadors of righteousness. The first grace now becomes a living reality of grace in us. Grace upon grace. John beseeches us to receive this grace that we could never achieve on our own. And when we receive the word that has become flesh and that is the light to the world, when we believe in the one who has given of himself, even to take upon himself the curse of sin, to break its power, then just as we know innately right from wrong, we will also know innately the depth of love God has and is within our own souls. Coming into this life, it is as if a light has come on. And looking back, we wonder how it was that we have lived in a kind of darkness. I want to quote from John Newton. You all know John Newton? He invented gravity, they said. I started this sermon, gravity. And he understood the absolutes of the laws of nature, and so he said this, F equals GM, capital M, stroke R squared. Isn't that profound? This is the mathematical formula for gravity. He also understood the laws of God's heavenly grace and wrote the hymn expressing this wonder of grace upon grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Amen.